Look, payday's awesome, but running payroll, calculating taxes and deductions, staying compliant, that's not easy. Unless, of course, you have Gusto. Gusto is a simple online payroll and benefits tool built for small businesses like yours. Gusto gets your team paid while automatically filing your payroll taxes. Plus, you can offer benefits like 401k, health insurance, and workers' comp, and it makes onboarding new employees a breeze. We love it so much, we really do use it ourselves, and we have 4 years, and I personally recommend you give it a try, no matter how small your business is. And to sweeten the deal, just for listening today, you also get 3 months free. Go to gusto.com/beingboss, that's gusto.com/beingboss. Welcome to Being Boss, a podcast for creatives, business owners, and entrepreneurs who want to take control of their work and live life on their own terms. I'm your host, Emily Thompson, and in this week's episode, we're continuing our series of What You Need to Know to Boss It Out in 2022 with an episode of what's happening in the world of creative business legal stuff with lawyer Autumn Witt Boyd. You can find all the tools, books, and links we reference on the show notes at www.beingboss.club. And if you like this episode, be sure to subscribe to the show and share us with a friend. Sometimes seeing someone else's path to success helps us clearly map out our own. It's why we all like business podcasts, right? Well, I'm here to share a show for you to check out, the Female Startup Club podcast, an amazing resource that shares insights and learnings from the world's most successful female founders, entrepreneurs, and women in business. In a recent episode, I loved hearing about how Michelle Grant, the founder of Lively, the lingerie and swimwear brand, built and sold her company for $105 million in just 3 years. Total boss move. So if you're looking for a new pod to inspire your next steps, listen to the Female Startup Club podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Autumn Witt Boyd is an attorney and founder of the AWB firm, a full-service law firm that specializes in protecting online businesses. Autumn and her team help established coaches and course creators protect their copyrights and trademarks, tighten up their contracts, grow their team legally, and navigate sticky legal situations. Autumn also helps solopreneurs and side hustlers build their business on a solid legal foundation with customizable contract templates. You can find Autumn in Chattanooga, Tennessee, hanging out with her 3 kids and husband, reading a good book, and sipping a glass of champagne after bedtime. Welcome back to Being Boss, Autumn. I'm so excited to see your face.
Oh, thank you, Emily. I looked at the transcript from our last conversation, which was in February of 2021. I thought it was much further in the past.
Same.
And I saw that we talked about our year-end drinks tradition, which is coming up. So
I'm
excited about that.
I am very excited about this, too. So this episode is going live mid-January. I think we're recording this early to mid-December. And in that episode, which I'm going to go ahead and reference, Autumn was here last, episode 252, How to Grow Your Business Like a Boss, where I interviewed Autumn about how it is that she has grown her business, which is amazing. And we shared our end of year tradition for the past, since I've moved here, 6 years has been our last evening of work before sort of taking off for the holidays, you know, air quotes around that. But we get together and we have drinks and we couldn't do it last year. And that, like, I canceled trips. I canceled. But like that was the hardest thing for me not to show up for.
I know.
It was so sad. But this year we're doing it again and I'm so excited.
We're back.
Yes. Something to look forward to.
We are lucky, Emily, that we live in the same place. And there are not a lot of online friends that I get to see in person. So lucky to have you.
Thank you. Ditto. And glad to have our little traditions, our end of year. By the time this goes out, we will be a month removed from that little situation. And hopefully I will not be hungover anymore by then.
That's my goal. Too wild.
Sometimes it takes a whole month. So I am excited to have you back. It has been almost an entire year since I've had you on the show. I would love to begin by you just giving us a little bit of an update, because I know you've done some crazy stuff this year. How or what has been going on at your law firm?
Yeah, so I did a little review. Emily is wonderful. And since the question's in advance, so I had time to think about this. So last year, Q1 and Q2, we had this incredible influx of new clients with our law firm. We work mostly with online course creators and coaches. They were having banner years. You know, 2020 and 2021 has seen incredible growth in that area. So we were really kind of bananas in Q1 and Q2, and then we staffed up to meet that demand. So that was kind of a lot of my work last year, was meeting that need and figuring out things like capacity and budgets and when do you need to hire the next person and can you afford it and all of those things. And then after we hired up, we had a huge slowdown. So it's just like, man, 2021.
Yeah.
So, but we are in a really nice place now where we've got everybody onboarded and ready to go. We've got a little bit of excess capacity, which last year we were all just working like crazy people. So that feels really good. And we are ready to go into kind of a marketing push for 2022, ready to accept new perfect fit clients. The other thing that happened this year was we talked about this last time, we moved our part-time marketing person into a full-time role, Sarah Kate, and we have doubled our contract template sales. We sell a digital nice. Downloadable product. Yeah. So that is exciting. Yeah, we've almost doubled our revenues and doubled our team. So it's been a wild ride.
Yeah. Oh man. And I also just generally know that like staffing up piece is your face.
You're not on video, but I'm making like the big eyes emoji.
That is one of the largest tasks I think that entrepreneurs growing a business, you know, can tackle, that whole process. And staffing up in terms of hiring multiples and or doubling your team is no joke. So high five.
And there's no magic formula. Like there are some formulas you can use, but it is, you know, things change. So
yeah, trial and error.
It's been exciting.
Trusting all the things. Oh my. I'm so glad to see you growing so much. And it really is a blessing to be at this place where you have a bit of extra capacity. You don't have to worry about another season of staffing up just yet. Maybe in the future, that would be great. Not right now.
I was just doing our projections for 2022. Yeah. And I'm kind of like, okay, like I think maybe we'll need one more team member, kind of depending on how the, you know, the pipeline goes. But we're kind of set.
Love that.
Yeah. So that feels really good.
That is a beautiful place to be. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I love watching you do what you do. I also got your Christmas card the other day. Seeing the entire team on that Christmas card was very exciting.
We just did a very boss photo shoot.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
It was amazing. It was really amazing. And so seeing that and like seeing that like physical representation of how much you have grown in the past couple of years was just mind blowing to me. I remember some of our first conversations when you were like, I think I want to do this thing.
It's just me.
Right. And now it's a whole vibrant team. So again, like this is almost like a little commercial for everyone to go listen to 252 because in that episode, Autumn shares how it is that she has grown her business and what that has looked like. And I just continue to be impressed with you and what you do. And then having three kids at home. How are you doing?
I'm kind of tired. It's okay. Right. Actually, my goal for 2022, you'll laugh. I just came out of annual planning and is really to do fewer things very well and to free up some more of my personal time to be home a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I called my husband from my planning retreat and I said, what do you think my goal for 2022 should be? And the kids were in the car with them and they were all like, we want to see you more.
Oh, like, there you go.
Me too. Me too. So I'm excited about that.
In case you needed a sign, that's about as plain as you can get.
We're all on the same page. Thanks.
I love it. All right, perfect. Well, I'm bringing you in today to talk about what's happening in the world of small online business legal for everyone to just sort of get up to speed, whether you are a newbie and you're just sort of thinking about what it looks like to make your business as legal as possible in all the ways that it needs to be done. Or let's say, you know, you are 5-10 years into your journey. You just want to know, like, what is happening in the new year? Where should you be looking? What should you be preparing for? But first, before we look too far ahead, I actually want to look back a little bit at 2021 and ask you, you know, especially that influx of clients that you had at the beginning of the year, what has been happening in the world of online and creative business sort of law stuff, if I can call it law stuff, for the past year or so?
Yeah. So it was so fun to think back over, like, what are the issues we've been seeing both with our clients and just, you know, I, like you, have a lot of entrepreneur friends and we're always just kind of chit-chatting about what's going on. So something that I've seen a big shift in, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this too. This was a 2020 event, but I feel like it has carried over, is when the George Floyd murder happened and we saw the Black Lives Matter protests. I feel like that was a wake-up call and a big shift in the online industry for a lot of people. That I think it was not an immediate shift for a lot of people. It has taken months and has spilled into this year doing internal work and also external work. So we're seeing a lot of people wanting to kind of bake their values around DEI into their business, where maybe they like quietly had individual feelings or values around that. Now it has become more like, oh, this is something that we want to talk about and we want to make sure that our business practices are actually aligned with those values. So I'm sure you're thinking, how does that play into legal?
That was my next question. What does that mean for you?
Yeah. So what we're seeing is, like people looking at their contracts and making sure that they're fair and equitable. We're seeing people looking at their marketing and sales practices and seeing like, are we using high pressure tactics, or do we have payment plans that are really, affecting some groups differently than others? We've seen a lot of talk around, for a long time you would see these non-disparagement clauses in contracts. So you hire a coach or you join a mastermind program or something, and you sign this big long terms, you probably don't read them. And there could be a non-disparagement clause, which basically means if you don't like this program, you can never speak publicly about that, which for people who especially are in marginalized groups and are maybe experiencing harm or are, seeing things behind the scenes that are not okay, they have very much felt kind of like they had a gag that they could not speak publicly about that. So we're seeing some shifts around that. And I even, we had a client who, this was not a contract we worked on. It was kind of a legacy contract that had this type of clause. And she was doing a big affiliate launch. And one of her affiliates basically said, I don't want any part of this if that's the kind of business you're running. So it's having ripple effects in ways that maybe we weren't thinking about things or focusing on it before. So I'm seeing a lot of that. Something else kind of on that same topic that we worked on with two DEI consultants, Erica Corday and India Jackson with Pause on the Play, who I think you're familiar with too. We worked on what's called a diversity rider. So this is like if you're speaking at an event or if you're hosting an event and maybe you have a standard contract, but maybe one of your speakers wants to say, I'm only going to participate if you've got a diverse group of speakers, or I'm only going to be a part of this mastermind if you've got a diverse cohort, kind of things like that. Again, putting your values, putting your money where your mouth is. And so we've worked with them to kind of bake some of those things into our contract template. So that's been a really fun project that, has kind of let us lean into our values a little bit, and more people are starting to talk about this. So that's been exciting.
Yes, I love so many levels of this, obviously. But for your industry in particular, what I love about this is that you are going back and reworking the way things have been done forever in a lot of cases. And what an amazing thing to be happening, number one. And for two, just sort of be a part of it and help shape what these contracts and things look like in the future. That's super fascinating. And high five. I'm glad to see that all of these things are coming out of this stuff. And it sounds like in many different ways and in many different parts of business. So that's wonderful. What else has been happening?
Yeah, I think the other thing we're seeing a lot more of is a focus on, I mentioned this before, but ethical marketing and sales practices. Mm-hmm. And that also involves legal. There's a lot of people doing a lot of things in the online world that are like either coming up very close to the line of Federal Trade Commission regulations around like using testimonials, making monetary promises about your results. Some of these payment plan things are like borderline illegal, depending on how much of an upcharge you're charging. And so I think we're just starting to see people who maybe were like, yeah, like I'm not worried about that. Now starting to, there's now some external pressure. Like people are being called to the carpet of that's not okay.
I feel like the law is coming to the Wild West.
Yeah. We have been the Wild West for a long time.
Yeah.
So it's, as the industry grows, as there's more money and more people and more eyeballs on it, we are seeing kind of more regulation start to come. So You know, if you're a micro business, I wouldn't lose sleep over this. They're going after the big fish. But I think you'll see that start to trickle down and where it becomes more of, I think we all look at the big fish for how we run our businesses. Like, oh, well, so-and-so does it. So that must be the right way. So I think we'll start to see some of it trickle down to the micro businesses too. Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you're right. We look up to those people and shape what we do from them. We can learn from their sort of mistakes, I guess. And I also am really fascinated. I'm really fascinated in some of those things coming in, because I've also heard some things around testimonials and these payment plans and how a lot of the things that have been sort of quote unquote industry standards for a long time in the real world, right, are illegal or at least like close to it.
No, I mean, we've definitely had some clients get like Secretary of State complaints for like consumer protection law violations.
What?
And you do not want to be on the receiving end of that.
No. Can you give an example? So like either testimonials or payment plans, what is something that you see happening, sort of quote unquote industry standard, that is bad?
Yeah. So the big thing with payment plans is if you offer a one-time payment price, let's say it's $3,000 if I pay in full, or you'll let me pay for 6 months, and I'm bad at math, so I'm not going to do that math.
Sure.
But let's say you let me pay for 6 months and those payments total $3,600 or some amount larger than the one-time payment price. There are rules, and they're different in every state, around how that's basically like a loan that you're making. And there are rules around how much interest you can charge. So if you calculate it out, like what is that upcharge? What would that calculate to interest? It is sometimes above the legal limit. And this is different for B2C, so business to consumer. If you're selling like a course on how to play piano or a course on how to dance, ballet, whatever, there's different rules because if you're in B2B or B2E, business to entrepreneur or business to business, that's considered to be a little bit more sophisticated buyer. So it's a different rule. Although I would question whether a lot of people just starting a business are really that sophisticated, frankly, because we're all learning as we go. But so we have seen complaints, even in the B2B space, which the regulations are not as tough, saying that basically that upcharge of the payment plan is higher than the state law allows.
This is why we all need lawyers.
I will flag this as an issue for everyone.
Yeah.
And this goes hand in hand with some of the ethical marketing stuff that we've been talking about, you know, that penalizes people who maybe don't have access to credit. Maybe someone else who has access to credit could take out a loan, could ask a friend, could put it on a credit card. Not everyone has access to that kind of resource. So then they're paying a much higher fee than someone else would.
Sure.
So it's not just legal, it's also ethics.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, sometimes following the law can also mean doing good.
So sometimes following the law can mean doing good.
Yeah. That's the poll quote.
Oh my God. Sometimes, y'all, you heard it here. When it comes to growing your business, integrating the right tools at the right time to help you get the job done can be tricky. But the HubSpot CRM platform is a tool that can take the headache out of scaling your business, and it will continue to grow with you. But don't just take it from me. I understand the value of bosses sharing what's worked for them along their entrepreneurial journey. That's why today I'm bringing you the experience of a real boss using HubSpot to take her business to the next level.
My name is Kim Dow, and I'm the owner and publisher of SaaS Magazine, a Being Boss podcast fan, and HubSpot CRM customer. So for our business, running a magazine, we have three very different lists. Each of those audiences have very different interests and different goals. HubSpot allows us to create segmented and targeted lists to ensure that we're communicating and marketing to each audience group very effectively. And using HubSpot has played a huge role in helping to increase our open and click rates and to ensure that our readers stay subscribed to our e-newsletters. We love all of the features of HubSpot, and we've really been using it this past year to help grow our business. Throughout the holidays and into 2022, we'll be using HubSpot to set up more automation, such as chat flows and more list building tools. This will allow us to become more productive and more efficient in our time and our workflow. This is Kim Dow from SaaS Magazine, and my HubSpot CRM platform helps my business stay connected. Learn more about how it can do the same for yours at HubSpot.com.
Anything else from 2021 that you want to recap?
Fair employment practices is something else that I'm seeing people talk about more.
Here we are in 2021 and we're finally there.
Yeah. So another thing that I think our industry leaders talk about a lot is never hire employees. You can outsource everything to a lower cost country that you can get someone for $2 an hour to do all your admin. And I think people are realizing that is A, unethical, and B, maybe illegal. So we see a lot of people who've cobbled together teams of contractors who really are acting like employees. And again, this is another one where the rules are different in every state. We work with a lot of our clients on making sure they're following everything. But if someone is working for you basically full time, you're telling them what to do. They report to you. They don't have a lot of autonomy. You're paying them hourly. Like, that looks an awful lot like an employee. And so just, I think we're seeing a shift. I think we're seeing people call out, and, you know, get enforcement actions from the states, when they're doing this the wrong way.
Nice.
So it's another example of where following the law is also a good way to run your business.
Sure. Perfect. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, how many times have we heard podcasts from people talking about their, you know, teams that they've pulled together from anywhere?
25 contractors and a $10 million business. And you're like,
yeah,
most businesses of that size have at least a few employees. Like, that is unusual.
Yep, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Okay, wonderful. Good. Yeah. So it sounds like some good things are coming out of 2021.
I try, you know, I look on the bright side, Emily. So
you do.
I'm hopeful. Yeah.
Perfect. Then looking at what you are actually working with most with clients these days, what does that look like? What are you actually doing the most of?
Yeah. So what I have found is bosses will come to us typically when they're in a growth spurt or they have an opportunity to do something new and exciting. And they want to do things the right way. So typically we don't get the cowboys.
Right.
There are plenty of people out there who don't want to do things the right way, and that's fine. You can go work with somebody else or not at all. But typically they want to do things the right way, but they're just not sure where to start, or they've looked for the information but have had a hard time like finding a clear answer. And to be fair, a lot of this, the answer is it depends on your business and what you want to do. But so we've been helping a lot of clients just kind of wrap their arms around like where to get started. What's the most burning issue? Often they will come to us, and I have an IP background. I'm a copyright lawyer by training, so I'm not throwing shade. But often people will come to us. They're like, I have this new thing. I really need to register the trademark. And so then we'll start to talk and we'll ask questions. And it turns out they're not using contracts, or they've got this, you know, team of cobbled together contractors, or it almost always surfaces that there's other issues that they just don't even know are problems. And so we've been doing a lot of that, just kind of high level planning of like, where are the real risks in your business? Where could things go wrong? I'll register a trademark or a copyright all day long, but I will tell you the problems we see are typically not in that area. They're around problems with a team member, or problems with a student in their course, or a client that they're working with, and it just kind of blows up and is a disaster. And when we look at how we're going to respond to that, it's almost always, what does the contract say? Do you have a contract? You know, and that kind of guides us. So we've been doing a lot of contracts. That was a long way of saying that is often where we will start, is either if you have a contract, making sure it's really covering the way you're doing business, your values, as we just talked about, that it's protecting you from the areas that we see go wrong most frequently. And then if you don't have a contract, making sure you start using one.
Yeah. Oh, and I do just want to like add a note here. We have lots of conversations in the Being Boss community about contracts. I see bosses coming in all the time going, I need to do contracts. Where can I find a template? How can I do this cheap and easy and all the things? And y'all, when it comes to the contracts on which you run your business, invest in custom made for you, your business, and how you want to work contracts, period. Period.
I would say not in the very beginning. But once you're starting to have some predictable revenue, and you know, you're maybe at that, I don't know, 50K to 100K annual.
Yes.
It's time to, get a lawyer's eyes on your contract.
Get a lawyer's eyes on your contracts. I feel so much safer just operating in the world, knowing that you're in my corner and that we have good contracts and all of these things. Like, it is so much, it takes so much weight off. And so, usually bosses come in and they are at this phase, right? Like, they've been using some contracts, trying to up, but like,
They borrowed their friends, or they Googled it. Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yep. We know. We know.
It's okay.
It is.
We do our best. And then when we know better.
Yeah. But right. But then whenever it comes to like really the contracts that your business is built off of, mm-hmm. got to do good ones. Okay. So contracts, yeah. Not surprising, yeah. Autumn.
I know. Not surprising. The other thing that we have, especially lately, it's like everybody's behaving badly. we have had a lot of disputes.
Yeah.
So, you know, we work with clients all over the United States. We specialize in online business so we can work, you know, not just in the states where we're located. We don't go to court. And most of these things never go to court. But we've had a lot of just like either this client has stopped paying or this person is causing problems in my community. And now like everybody else is losing their minds. Like, how do we deal with that?
Yeah. The thing I keep saying is that people have forgotten how to behave.
Mm-hmm. Well, period. Everybody, I will say, everyone is under a tremendous amount of stress. We all thought this year would be better, 2021. And it in some ways has been, and in some ways it's been worse than 2020. So I get it. We're all tired. But yeah, people are misbehaving. And so helping our clients navigate, like, what does the contract say? That's where we start. But then a lot of it is just negotiation. And a lot of, especially creatives, are not schooled or don't have experience with negotiation. And so that's a lot of just like figuring out. And I think it's fun. I think it's like a game. It's because it's not my business. But, you know, figuring out where do you have leverage points? What can we offer? Or what do they value? What do we value? What can we kind of trade to make it so it's never a win-win? People say that it's never a win-win. But how can we make sure that everybody's kind of unhappy, but nobody feels like they got a totally raw deal?
Love that.
If you want to walk away with like everything you wanted, like, forget it. That basically never happens. But, you know, how can we make it so we can walk away and at least move forward and not be like simmering with anger and frustration over this thing?
Yeah.
Because it becomes an energy suck when you've got something like that going. I mean, we have had some tricky client situations this year as we've grown. I mean, that's just growing pains. You know, as we're figuring out our new systems and new team members, there is nothing worse like than falling asleep thinking about a client problem and waking up thinking about the client problem. Like it just, it's terrible. So helping our clients work through that, you know, in a way that is the least amount of terrible.
For sure.
We've been doing a lot this year.
I also just cannot, communicate the value enough that of just sending a letter to someone with a lawyer's letterhead. Like their things just get resolved a little bit faster, I find, if it just is a bit more legal for whatever reason. Perfect. Then let's move in then to 2022, because new year, you've sort of seen how things have been evolving. What is coming? What do you see coming in the online creative business world in terms of the work that you do?
Yeah. So talking again about, I know compliance is not sexy, but we are starting to see a lot of litigation and complaints and things around website accessibility, which Emily, with your background as a web designer, you probably know all about this. There are law firms that are not mine, but that are basically hunting for websites that are not compliant and filing lawsuits because there's big damages. And so we have had one client that got kind of tangled up in that. And I think there's going to be just more and more of it.
Yeah.
And the standards are still a little gray, but there's some pretty good guidelines that if you follow those, you're going to be pretty well protected. So I think we're going to be hearing a lot more about that, especially since as online businesses, we, you know, our business is our store, our website is our storefront. So it's really important that we make it. I mean, and another one, like ethically, we're going to do good by following the law. Like this is a good thing just as a business practice.
For sure.
So I see a lot more focus on that, on how can we make our websites accessible to people of differing abilities, whether it be visual, audio, you know, just general navigability.
Yeah. Yes, I agree with this. This is something that I really started coming into contact probably about 2 years ago. And whenever we did our Being Boss website refresh at the beginning of 2021, accessibility was something that we like, we went through all the filters, like all the things, yeah. making sure all the colors are like appropriate for different, you know, types of color blindness and all of these mm-hmm. things. We spent 2021 transcribing our entire library of audio so that you can download. Wow. That was quite a project. So that if, you know, if someone cannot hear, they can still read and they can get mm-hmm. the content, making it as accessible as possible. And it's something that I continue to hear complaints with in terms of, you know, community platforms on the web that are not yeah. very accessible to anyone who has any, you know, who needs any sort of additional accessibility features. Yeah. So I think you're right. I think that's going to continue becoming or continue being a thing. I think it's going to definitely come to a head at some point in the next probably 2 or 3 years. I don't love the hunting tactics that happen. I have heard some really scary things. And thinking both, because you're right, your website is your storefront. And similar, you know, with retail, with having physical yeah. spaces, you have to have accessibility. And I think there is this interesting thing happening too, where, you know, for the past decade, you got online because it was easier. And those are air mm-hmm. quotes. Like it was easier to start a business online because there were fewer barriers to entry. And what's happening is that there are going to be just as many barriers to entry to do online business as there is to do brick and mortar or, you know, whatever it looks like IRL. Yeah. And a part of me is a little sad by that. Like the Wild West is becoming the Disney World, right? Yeah. Yeah. But you have to work, right? You have to do the things. You have to check off the boxes in order to show up and do business and have that responsibility. So I'm on not the bright sad to see side, that.
We're seeing lots of tech tools that make this much easier. Like I just did an annual planning event that with my coaches that was virtual. And even on Zoom, now they have like a live transcript feature
yep.
that was turned on for accessibility. So I think, you know, on the bright side, as the requirements are getting higher, it's becoming easier to comply with them. So
yeah.
That's right. helpful.
And there is sort of this evening out too of like, you know, for us able-bodied folks, it was no barrier to entry to enter. But because of that, there was a total barrier to entry to anyone who wasn't as mm-hmm. able-bodied as we are or, you know, all the things. So yeah. there is that. Like we sort of take for granted that it was easy for us, but it was inaccessible by so many others. And so we're just sort yeah. of evening the playing field.
Yeah.
And there are so many tools. All right, boss, fresh year, fresh goals, plenty of fresh energy. How will you be harnessing it to help you build a business that better supports your life this year? If I may offer up a suggestion, get your money in order with FreshBooks. From fast and easy invoicing to automated late payment reminders and the ability to handle the hassle of currency conversion, FreshBooks is easy-to-use accounting software designed specifically with bosses like you in mind. And has plans designed for all types of small businesses. So whether you offer a service, are a creative agency, or a podcast like us, you can choose a plan that's right for you. And no matter which you choose, you'll be saving time all along the way. Try FreshBooks free for 30 days, no credit card required. Go to FreshBooks.com/beingboss and enter Being Boss in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Okay, what else? What else is coming?
All right. We've already kind of mentioned testimonials. I'm seeing more lawsuits and complaints. A lot of influencers now, I'm seeing like starting to get hit with Federal Trade Commission fines around not being forthright or honest about their content being sponsored or being an ad, having claims in their content that are not necessarily substantiated. So I think that's going to, again, it starts at the top. It starts with the people who are in the public eye, but it will start to trickle down. So that's something, especially if you're doing affiliate marketing or taking any kind of, you know, if you're in the influencer or content creator space where you're getting paid to create content, you need to have your eyes on that and make sure it's not that hard to comply with once you know the rules. So, I mean, that's another thing, like, yes, it is one more thing, but it's not that heavy a lift. Right. So I think we're going to see more talk about that, more being forthright about when, you know, you're not just sharing your opinion, you're sharing something that someone paid you. Either you're getting a commission on the back end or you're getting paid on the front end. Right. So I definitely see some movement there.
Nice.
Are you seeing that at all in your space, Emily?
Yes and no. And mostly, I feel like I'm mostly surrounded by people who
tell you that they're getting paid for things. So I haven't seen those sort of things, but I have heard things about testimonials. And so there are things that whenever you're putting testimonials, it's easy to put, that claim of that person who's just like a total diehard fan of what you do.
The superstar.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's like the biggest testimonial. Use it everywhere. But if it's, claims that cannot be easily replicated, or what are the sort of terms with testimonials?
Yeah. So I think a lot of people think they can just put a disclaimer on the testimonial, like results not average or something like that.
Oh, yep.
But that is not true. That's part of it. But what the rules really want you to do is be using kind of your average Jane's results. And if you're not sharing the average Jane results, you have to be real clear about what your average results are. So let's say you've got a superstar in your program who made 50 grand after they went through your online course. You can totally use their testimonial, but you got to put at the bottom what the average user was earning after that. And that means you've got to track it, which a lot of people are not doing. And you've got to make sure you've got good records if there's ever a question later. So it's just trying to be transparent. We're trying to be honest. We're not trying to hide the ball. Like, testimonials can still be really powerful and you can still totally use them. We just need to make sure that we're being honest with them.
Yeah. A way that I have seen some people not working around this necessarily, but kind of, is using review features on your website. So instead of posting the, most shining testimonial, instead open up to reviews. The upside is that people get access to anyone's crazy results, right? The downside is that if someone didn't like it, you also are sharing those. But again, what we're doing here is sort of leveling the playing field, right? We're taking out the curation so that what you see is more a real representation of results as opposed to the one or two that did something amazing. Right. So that's a way that I'm seeing a lot of people sort of go beyond that.
Yeah. And I think especially in a higher volume business where you've got a lot of customers, that's great.
Yep. I also love the idea of someone sharing in their testimonial section, like a couple one-star reviews, right?
Just let people see.
Just put it on there. Jane didn't like it. Okay.
Wasn't, if you're like Jane.
Yeah.
Might not be for you.
I love that though. That's transparency, y'all. You also got a one-star review.
Yeah. I will say, I don't know about you, but anytime someone's really unhappy, I take a hard look at that. And sometimes there are people you just can't make happy and that's like, God bless and go. But there's always a kernel of truth in there of like something you could have done better, or a process that was a little weird, or, something you didn't handle the best way. So
yeah, for sure.
Take it for what it is.
They are valuable as well.
Yes.
We'll say most. Okay. Anything else for 2022 that you see coming?
No, we've already talked about some of the other things. Yeah, I think we're going to see more of this focus on ethics. I think I'm hearing it a lot in the online industry. I don't know if you are, but I think we're just going to continue to see that.
Yeah.
And complying with the laws and doing the things the right way is part of ethics.
Yes. Another thing that I'm seeing, or I'm thinking, like, the times in which I may have been in contact with you most often and that I imagine needing to continue having support, isn't people stealing things around the web?
That's ongoing, never ending.
Yeah. Ongoing.
Nothing new, but no,
nothing new, but I do feel like it's happening at a volume that it has never really. And because, again, more people on the internet, bored with nothing better easier. To do. Mm-hmm. Way easier to do. So things like, stealing RSS feeds for podcasts and claiming it's their own, or like those sorts of things. Those are the kinds of things that my team are like, we are watching, and we're shutting down fake feeds all the time, and, monitoring trademarks and those sorts of things. I feel like over the past probably 9 to 12 months, we've done more monitoring and shutting down fake shit than in all years combined previously. So I feel like that's just going to continue being a thing too. And it's one reason why, one, I'm so glad I have a trademark, because then I can just walk up in there and be like,
here it is.
Mine, right? And two, that I guess I have the team and resources to just manage, because y'all, it is tiresome. Sometimes I definitely am up in the middle. You go to sleep thinking about this. I'm up in the middle of the night looking at Anchor to see who's ripped off my RSS feed lately.
Yeah. Well, you make a good point because, like I said, a lot of people will come to us and they want to work on a trademark as their first project. And sometimes we'll kind of put them off because registering the trademark is step one of 100 steps to actually protect your brand. And you have to have the capacity and the finances to take all those other steps to monitor what's going on in the marketplace, to send cease and desist letters or to file takedown notices. It's kind of a never ending game of whack-a-mole. Once you have,
that's exactly what it is.
It feels like it. Yeah. It's like you whack one and it pops up in another place.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so it is, it's an ongoing and it's a big project and it doesn't necessarily make sense for every business to spend that much time and energy on it. But you do reach a level where your brand becomes really important. I think being boss is certainly one of those.
Yeah.
And you know, the calculation changes a little bit.
Right. Yeah. And for us too, it's not even just like the brand, but and for so many people, and it's the content being stolen. Yeah. And so I think as more people are coming online, you know, quitting jobs, doing the online business thing, they don't know the rules. They don't know that you don't show up and do these things. Or you read an article about how you can lift that thing and use it as your own, but like that's bad news bears. Yeah. But you know, I think that's going to continue being a thing. I think we're gonna have like a wave of it's like trying to think of a Wild West reference and it's not working. I don't have anything.
We're surfing.
Right. We're going to have a wave, that we are surfing. We're going to have a wave of that. Another one, because it's happened a couple of times over the years. And that's always been something. That's something that I enjoy having been, you know, in this world for 15-ish years now, is watching these interesting sort of cycles happen in the online world where, you know, people flood in and everything's sort of chaos and everything sort of like, you know,
dies back
a little more orderly. And then there's another wave. And I feel like we are just sort of at the top of this wave. Chaos at the moment, it's our job to sort of hold, literally yours is to hold the law.
Yeah. I just help. Well, I'll tell you something we're dealing with, I mean, on a personal note, is impersonator accounts on social media.
Yeah.
There must be some tool out there that like allows you to kind of scrape someone's social media profile and then basically create a new profile with all of their content. And so I think you've definitely alerted me to some because often they keep your tags. And so like they'll post a picture of me and Emily and I've tagged Emily and then Emily sees like, you know, this random new account has tagged her. She's like, what? So, but they're all Bitcoin for me. And it is true whack-a-mole. And the social media platforms are not very helpful of getting it shut down. Like we can shut down the individual accounts and then it's like 10 spring up in their place. So that has been a frustration that the law is kind of limited in what you can do. Cause I'm not filing a lawsuit against all these people that are probably in Russia or something. Like who even knows where they are or what they're doing.
Right.
But they like the reality, the law is way behind the reality of what is happening on the internet right now in that space. So that is a frustration that I wish I had a solution for. I'm hoping that the social media platforms will continue to, you know, refine their tools as far as reporting and shutting down these copycat accounts. But it's really frustrating right now. So if you are experiencing that, you are even the lawyer can't get it taken care of.
Happening to Autumn too. No, I have seen this a lot. I've talked to many bosses over the past year or two that this, and it just keeps happening and it's whack-a-mole. That's exactly what this is as well. And it's interesting. There are so many places in the online world where it is still the Wild West. And I feel like that is, that there are no laws. Or there's no real backing to assist us and you know, containing our own.
Yeah. And you've got to figure out, like, where are you going to put your time and money and energy?
Yeah.
What's actually important? What's actually going to move the needle?
Right.
These copycat accounts are not really having an impact on anything.
Right. But I have actually heard of a couple of people who have had Instagram copycat accounts created. And then whoever creates them goes and messages all of their followings trying to like, you know, get them to come join this thing or let me do a reading for you or whatever it may be. And then so they're scamming all of their right.
Yeah.
Then things get real gross. Real gross. So, yeah, I feel like as we are experiencing this wave
And as we are all becoming, you know, more boss in our businesses, and this is really our livelihood and we're doing it, and like the whole online world supports us, and there's a bridge between online and offline, and this becomes like, this continues to become a very viable way for you to build a career for yourself. It is becoming more important, I think, for all of us to have all of these things in place, to know what to look for, to have, you know, someone in our corner to assist as needed, and all of these things. And I definitely, and with complete transparency, these sorts of things legitimately takes up a good bit of my time. Like, as an entrepreneur who is protecting a trademark and trying to keep the, you know, thieves away, whatever you want to call them. It's something that you have to start making space for at some point. If you want to play in this, there are low barriers to entry, y'all, but it is still kind of the Wild West. So got to defend your livestock.
We're taking this all the way.
That's kind of what we're doing. Wow. Okay. I like that.
You are your own sheriff, as it turns out.
No, I feel like you're my sheriff. I'm just the mayor.
I'm here for that.
I love it. Okay. Then, in what ways, with all of that in play, in what ways should we be preparing? What can we be doing as bosses, looking for, preparing for? What do we need to do?
Yeah. So I've already kind of mentioned it, but contracts is almost always where we start. So that is what I would recommend. Look at your number one moneymaker. That's where we usually start. You may have, you know, four or five different things you do. There's probably one that makes you the most of your money. So we look at that and make sure that you've got a really solid contract around that. You don't have to hire a lawyer to create a contract. There are great templates out there. We sell some, other people sell some. I would encourage you to find a contract template shop that is in alignment with what you actually do. So if you came to me and you told me you were like a Reiki healer, I would say, I don't have a great template for you. You know, maybe go find someone who specializes in that, who really knows the ins and outs and the issues. So contracts, 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 that's where I would start. And then as you are looking at your whole year, making sure you have at least a little bit of legal budget set aside. So it could be $500 and maybe that's, you know, one or two templates if you are just getting started. It could be thousands of dollars if you're further along, because it is a cost of doing business and it really hurts when you're not prepared for it. But if you know, like, okay, I'm probably going to have some issues. I may need to call a lawyer, or I may need to have a strategy session. I've got a little money kind of put aside, or I know this is the year I am launching something new and we're going to register the trademark because I really want to protect that. You know, just going ahead and figuring that out, putting a little money aside for it so it's not a surprise. It's one of those non-sexy expenses, I know, but it can really make a difference in your business.
Yeah. Oh, and I just want to highlight this. Budget for legal is cost of doing business. I feel like creatives especially will tiptoe their way around legal all day until it ends up costing them so much money.
Yeah.
But if you want to show up and do business,
it's legal, just like paying your taxes.
Yeah. 100%. So good. Okay, perfect. And then, is there one thing that every boss should have squared away right now moving into the new year other than contracts?
I would look at your website.
Yeah.
And make sure you have a privacy policy. That is a legal requirement. It's required by California, but everybody's doing business in all the places. So make sure you've got that locked down. It will also, if someone lands on your website and like, it just makes you look very legit in addition to being compliant. So that's the other thing. Perfect. Again, you can use a template. You do not need to hire a lawyer to do your privacy policy. But the law changed in 2018. So if you haven't updated yours since then, probably also time for a little refresh.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think some even payment processors will not allow you to collect money on your website without a privacy policy.
Yeah.
So, and lock it in.
Facebook will reject your ads if you're sending people to a landing page without a privacy policy. So there's other repercussions for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Easy. It'll take you 30 minutes and then you can like check that off and you don't need to worry about it for a minute.
Yep. I also love that we just made it through a whole conversation on legal without bringing up GDPR a single time.
Almost. I just did.
We
right
have
then.
Evolved. I know. As you were saying it, I was like, here we go. But like, we finally evolved past that a little bit. A little bit. Ooh. So glad.
So glad to be making it to the next steps. Perfect. This has been a treat to talk about this. I feel like I even have some things I need to go check on, just sort of like task the team to look at some things. Because you're right. This is, and like cost of doing business in both money and time.
Yeah.
Right? Like you have to spend time making sure that your ducks are in a row. Because there are people who will come after you, who will stop doing business, who will attempt to cancel you. Like if all of these things are being overlooked, because you didn't bother to make the time, not necessarily that you are a bad person who's doing bad business, but that you didn't bother to take the time to learn and do business correctly.
You should be like reviewing again for that main moneymaker. You should be looking at that contract maybe once a year and just like making sure I've been guilty of this myself 100%. Like you change your offer, you change how you do things and you don't change your contract. And then you have an issue and you're like, oh, that doesn't even make sense. Like, I don't even know how we're going to deal with this.
For sure. So.
Yes, time. Some of it is not expensive. It's just taking a little time.
Absolutely. Perfect, Autumn. This has been a treat. Thank you for coming and sharing all of this stuff with us.
Thank you for letting me geek out on all the legal
any day. I'm looking forward to our cocktails next week. And then now that, you know, this is coming out officially 2022, I'm also going to go ahead and start looking forward to it next year as well.
Yes. Put it on the calendar.
Might as well. Perfect. So to wrap up, where can bosses find more about you and what you do and that amazing contract template store you have?
Yeah. So all the things, you can find me on social. I'm Autumn Witt Boyd everywhere. You can find our website. It's my initials, awbfirm.com. You can find the contracts. And if you are a business owner that's further along looking for one-on-one legal support, you can find info about that at the website as well.
Perfect. And last but not least, Autumn, what's making you feel most boss?
Well, I have to say, we've been talking about it, but the freedom and ability to have a cocktail date with a business bestie, you know, taking a half day off in December to do that is pretty boss.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you. Thank you, Autumn. I agree. Perfect.
We didn't mention we had poolside. We actually didn't have drinks, but we had a poolside date earlier this year.
We did. We've done poolside. Nice. I feel like we did something else at some point as well. We had porch early.
Yes.
Porch
yes.
time early in 2021.
We were only doing things outside.
Yep. Mm-hmm. By way back when. It has been so nice. It's so nice to have you around, Autumn. I'm excited to see your face again soon.
Same, same.
I just want to take a minute to shout out to all the small business owners out there, because it's hard work balancing your bottom line and taking care of a team. That's why Gusto built an easier and more affordable way to manage payroll, benefits, and more. Automatic payroll tax filing, simple direct deposits, free health insurance administration. Y'all, that's a winner. 401ks, you name it, Gusto made it simple. It's my favorite, onboarding tools that allow you to easily inform a new hire on their benefits and the policies so they walk in on day one knowing what they need to know to get started with the bank. And right now, you can get 3 months free once you run your first payroll. Just go to gusto.com/beingboss. That's gusto.com/beingboss. Now, until next time, do the work, be boss. Yeah.